You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Are we going to solve what happened to the Miami Heat?
Yeah, the defense.
Are they getting Kyle Lowry back?
Yeah, I don't know if Kyle Lowry will help this.
Everything,
I don't know. Because
Kyle Lowry's not breaking the level of that switch on every pick. Like, that's not happening.
That was something else, man. That was pretty impressive. I thought in the beginning of the game, I tweeted it out. Celtics got to go after Hero more often. They started to do that. Opened up opportunities for them. But, you know, I'm with you. I mean, Oladipo can't play no more.
Can't play.
We've been saying this for a month. Like,
I've been with you guys for a while. But they go, Pritchard makes a three to make it 23-21. Spo calls a timeout. The very first possession out of that timeout, Oladipo goes rogue, tries to drive through the lane, and travels. Next possession, he comes off of a dribble handoff and pulls a three right away. And I'm like, nope, done.
That 40-point game was the worst thing to happen to the Miami Heat this year.
That's the part. I don't get where it's like, Spo's falling for this?
I don't know what he does for them. He doesn't do anything. He plays hard-nosed defense, okay, but his offense has been a train wreck, and that's why you need Kyle Lowry to soak up those minutes, because not just because Kyle Lowry's good at basketball, but because Victor Oladipo needs to not play anymore.
I'm not with you on the defense. There are a couple of possessions where he just gets completely torched, back cut, and things like that. Doesn't help
Oladipo?
On back screens. Yeah, there's a play
couple.
With okay. I was trying to be nice. Yeah, he's been rough. Honestly, like at that point, especially when you're struggling to shoot, why not just throw Duncan Robinson out there for a few minutes and see if he can get hot? You know,
We just saw what happened.
Is there anything more embarrassing than getting hurt? Is there anything more embarrassing than getting hurt on the last possession of the game in a 40-point game? Like, he got hurt. Duncan Robinson got hurt when the Celtics were drowning out the clock. He got hurt while watching the Celtics try to drown out the clock. It was sad.
I would say getting hurt during layup lines.
Uncoordinated ass motherfucker. Take his ass back. Take him back. Take him back to New Hampshire, wherever the hell he's from.
But they don't have anybody else to go with. I mean, Martin does it that much better.
Max Strus's ankles are shot, too.
Jeez. Matt shot. They're already buried. And they're headed to heaven.
At least get crossed up by Tatum or Brown. Like, not Marcus Smart, man.
How bad could Haywood Highsmith be? Like, is he worse than whatever Oladipo is out here? I don't know what he looks like. I couldn't tell you. Like, I don't know anything about him, but he can't be worse than what Oladipo's doing.
Yeah, the crazy thing is that, like, Marcus Smart absolutely impacted this game, and it wasn't on the defensive end.
He was incredible. I'm sorry, Marcus Smart. I'm sorry about the rant I had on the show a couple weeks ago, because tonight he was great.
But I take it all back.
But you notice when he started hitting shots, it was gone. The game was over, and then he started making shots. Like,
I mean, they shot 60-something percent from the start of the game.
it was like 12 of 18 from three to start the game. It was ridiculous.
They started 10 of 12 from three. But guys, we're doing this thing where we're touching on all these different things. Let's do this systematically, methodically. Let's start with the biggest story of the night. Yeah. What the hell happened with Dan? Was he about to get ejected?
I love
was
this.
Was he fighting with Jamal Mashburn? What's going on?
I think he was trying to go talk to Jamal Mashburn, but Dan just thinks he can go anywhere, right? So he just starts walking onto the court, and security's like, "What are you doing, buddy? You can't do this." And I think he was like, he's like holding her hands and talking to her, trying to explain, like, DraftKings gave me $50 million. Like, I can go whatever I want.
Yeah. No, that's not what he's explaining. He's talking about, like, two Brahma Bulls. And the story happens. Jimmy Butler, when the math is changing.
The math is changing with me being able to talk to Jamal Mashburn right now.
Yeah.
Do we have that video by the way? Mashburn?
Yeah. Hey, Danny, do you have that video? I put it in the chat. Let's see it.
Right there. Nash, he says DraftKings.
Just laughing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 50 million.
Right on cue.
Yeah.
Dan, what happened?
Can you guys hear the Let's Go Celtics chant in the arena? Yes. There are so many pink, pasty, flabby arms in Celtics jerseys. So many of them. So many white people. There is a pocket of white people who are so loud yelling, "Let's go Celtics." So thrilled. Because I don't know. I don't have a stat sheet in front of me. You guys tell me. It seemed like a lot of threes were going in for the Celtics.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the expert analysis.
This is very important stuff, Dan, actual basketball things, but we need to know what happened with Jamal Mashburn and security. What happened there?
Jamal, I just walked past. I saw Jamal Mashburn. I was delighted to see that gap-toothed smile, and I walked into an area I wasn't supposed to. I wanted it to look like I was trying to get ejected in order to motivate the Miami Heat. Just smart. Walk on the court and get kicked out.
I think you have to.
I'm not
going to
be able to do this with you guys. I don't think that the internet connection is bad. And
it's good.
I'm surrounded by an alarming number of pink people in green jerseys.
Yeah. You're a correspondent.
That is an alarming amount.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's a bit troubling.
What the hell was that? What the hell? I mean, the whole thing. But we'll always have 18-8, and PJ Tucker missing those two free throws.
Mm-hmm. That was the turning point, Dan. Is when he missed those two free throws, everything fell apart. That's why you got to teach the fundamentals.
PJ Tucker made his first three and went down the court shouting all night, motherfuckers, all night.
Not so much. That was his only three he took. That's why it was all night. That was his only three.
Actually, not all night. It's stopping right now, precisely.
I mean, to be honest, that's my strategy when I play basketball. Score a bucket. I'm done, guys. I'll see y'all later.
Dan, did you see Duncan Robinson got hurt as the Celtics were trying to run the clock out?
And Stauskas went back to the locker room. Like, poor Stauskas got 3 seconds to play and hobbled off the court. Who's that Cornett guy for the Celtics?
Luke Cornett, Nick Legend.
Yeah, he's a Knicks legend. He's a Bulls legend.
Actually, no. If you pay attention, he might be in the crowd right now with you.
Yeah, he might be over there.
One of those pink flabby dudes. 3 o'clock right now. Yeah.
There's so many Boston people who have no idea how to go to the beach in Miami. Like, they don't understand sunblock. They don't understand anything.
Can you see Zach right now, Dan? Can you see Zach?
He might not understand something.
No, not in the arena.
I like Zach. Yeah, I like Zach's look. It's stylish. It's sleek.
Yeah, I got a haircut. I got a haircut coming tomorrow. Thank you.
Yeah.
See, he appreciates it.
I also want to let you know that the highlight of the evening was Juju Gotti vomiting in the bathroom between Mario Chalmers and Ahmad Rashad.
No.
Yeah. And the whole time he was like trying to fiddle with his camera to get the picture right so that you guys could see him vomiting between Mario Chalmers and Ahmad Rashad in the bathroom.
That's why he's the best in the business.
He hadn't eaten anything all day, and then he ate like some jalapeno chips, and they just shot out his ass like a hot whistle.
So here's my thing. I'm envisioning Juju, Mario Chalmers, and Ahmad Rashad all throwing up at the same time.
Yeah.
It is Juju.
Like an acapella group just to vomit. What's up, Juju?
Oh,
what are they
man.
Saying? I can't hear them. They're saying, what's up? And they're wondering, they want to hear whatever details you got on vomiting between. Juju enjoyed. Juju was in the owner's box. Juju went and met the owner. You should have seen him.
So Juju got to meet the owner and go to the owner's box, but you got kicked off the floor, Dan.
That's right. That's right. No respect.
Dan, I want you to know that there is the chat is blowing up. There's a lot of people in here all sending messages. A lot of activity from naked-hd.xyz-fuck-ad! Wet girls are here! Bro! Lots of messages from there. Oh, they just got blocked. Sorry about that.
For five minutes. Juju
finessing his way into an ownership stake. Agile Brute saying, culture my ass.
So, wow, that was a thorough ass whooping.
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys this, though. I do want to ask you guys this as the basketball experts, because I wonder if there's a shift with the amount of three-pointers made and the way that all that shit has changed. Like, there are so many bad games. They're all 20- and 30-point games in the playoffs, and we've got, like, a handful of close ones. But, like, I am wondering, as all of this changes, if there's something about taking this many threes when you start altering am my eyes lying when I keep seeing games that are 20 and 30 point games, and I'm like, is this what it's going to be now, where we'll go through the playoffs and we'll get like three or four games that are close at the end, and we get a matchup at the top of the key between two guys that you want to see? Or is it going to be like game 7 Phoenix Dallas all the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough because what's happening in a lot of these games is it's not even that one team likes to shoot threes and the other team doesn't. It's just that if you hit a night where someone's making theirs and the other ones aren't, it gets ugly pretty quickly. And, you know, we were talking about this the other day for that Dallas and Phoenix game. It's that Dallas goes up big and you say, well, everyone makes a run in the NBA, but Phoenix never made that run. And so tonight, at least Miami made a run in the third quarter. They cut it down to 17. They had the ball. Jimmy made a great pass.
They cut it to 17. It's a game.
Hold on now. At the point of where it is at the third quarter with like 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, Jimmy's coming down. He delivers a perfect pass to Bam. If Bam can just literally catch, keep high, and dunk, that's a 15-point game. Given that it was 26-27 at the beginning of earlier, you can realistically say we can get this down to 10 by quarter break, and then now it's a 10-point game. But, you know, that turn on a dime right there, you mess up that one time, and then they come back down, and they haven't missed all night long. It's hard to overcome that.
I mean, this was also an abnormal night shooting-wise from three for even the Celtics. 50% from three, going 20 of 40 from the field. Like, they're normally shooting in the playoffs around 36% three. You know, like, that's the thing. First half, they already were up, you know, 12-6 from three on the Heat. At that point, you're already struggling behind it. And on top of it, I didn't even feel like Jimmy was that aggressive in the first half. He had a line of 5-10 from the field, but it felt different, right? And then, like, in the third quarter, he comes out 6-8, going nuts and things like that. Like, that was the Jimmy you needed in the first half.
Well, I think we really missed Bam Adebayo. I know you talked about Bam a second ago. I mean, but he was completely invisible in this game.
It's the second straight game. Like, he has not been aggressive, and he's got it wide open in the middle of the floor. He has the ability to put it on the ground. Like, you telling me, like, look, I know they're good defenders. He can score against Robert Williams III. He can score against Al Horford. Like, he can get these guys to bite on pump fakes, and it's not that he's failing at it. He's not even looking to do it. And so if you have all these guys who are not being aggressive and it's just on Jimmy to set the tone, then if Jimmy doesn't set the tone early, there's nothing that can be done. Like, Gabe Vincent's the guy stepping up in those moments. Yeah.
Dan, did you have any correspondence with your father tonight in this game? Did he have any insight into how the Heat performed?
Well, my father missed the game, unfortunately, because I was trying to find him here. We were trying to get him some free media ice cream, and he was supposed to be yelling in the media room, "There's a cock in the hen house," while going and Meadowlark Media. He was supposed to be shouting that while getting ice cream, but I called him and he was still at home. He hadn't made it. But that is Jamal Mashburn. Like many people here, they all ask me how my father is, and they all want to know. They all tell me to say hello to my father, which I don't mind doing on behalf of Jamal Mashburn. But it's when it's just a guy who's saying, hey, say hello to Poppy for me. And he's just and I'm like, I will. You know what? I'm going to go home and I'm going to call my father and I'm going to tell him that this guy, Dad, in a Heat jersey that he was wearing to his navel that was a little short, he at the arena said, hello, Poppy. So unfortunately, though, my father was not here. He did not miss much. I wasted my money and my time being here this evening.
Dan, if you told him that a person he's met twice but doesn't remember in a headband essentially tells him to hello, will you do that?
Yeah.
Well, here's what you guys need to understand. I've told this story before, but there was one time Lil Wayne came into the studio, and he comes with a whole bunch of people, and he's a huge sports fan, obviously, and has weird obsessions with the television sports people. And he comes into the studio, he's got a whole crew of people, and he's hiding behind my leg the entire time, like a kid would with Disney characters at Disney World, like if they're walking around, and he's got like, you know, $120,000 in diamonds in his mouth, and he's smiling, and he's behaving like he's interacting with my father, who's a cartoon character. My father's very nice and everything. And then Lil Wayne shortly after leaves, and my father looks at me and says, straight face, who the fuck was that?
Dan, I do want to update you that naked-hd.xyz, even losers fuck girls with us, is back. With a lot more. Oh, no, they just got blocked.
They got blocked again. Got blocked again.
Dan, there's a question in the chat from the listeners. They want to know, what was it like when you saw Max Strus's ankles go to heaven?
It happened right in front of us. I don't even know what it was. It Marcus Smart who did that for a little while?
You can't let Marcus Smart do that to you.
I'd like an explanation here from our four basketball experts. I want to understand. Can you explain this to me? How is it that Marcus Smart, I saw him at Oklahoma State. That dude couldn't shoot. Like, that dude couldn't shoot like that. Like, that, what was that? Like, what? This guy, every time the ball left his hands, it was a certain thing that it was going in the basket.
Well, Dan, he did start 2 of 12. So
yes, he did.
It wasn't quite,
it's law of averages.
Yeah.
Dan literally said every time I saw him shoot the ball, it went in.
You know what? I will tell you the truth about this. I spent the entire first quarter waiting for a drink at an overcrowded bar. And so I did not actually see him start 2 for 12. So imagine my surprise when you just told me that he was 2 for 12 when all I saw was what he did after 2 for 12.
See, Dan, and that's where you messed up. You got to roll with Juju on these. Go to the owner's box. Get you the short lines in there. I believe the drinks are cops in there as well.
That's a fine, right? Isn't that? I know I'm new here, but that's a fine.
That's like $175 in fines.
He couldn't even finish his.
It's still there. How is, like, when you've got your lungs are draped in some sort of mucus.
Trying to power through it, Dan.
It's Amino Hassan, aka Huka Doncic, right there. That's what that is.
Oh my god.
This guy
who asking me though. What were you asking me, Amino?
Don't remember.
Doesn't matter.
Is it important anymore?
It doesn't matter.
Guys, I just saw Stephen A. on the court, and I do defer and bow to your expertise because I'd actually like to hear what you have to say about this. But he has proclaimed, because Pritchard said after game one, he said, well, we won every quarter except the third. And basically, they've won every quarter except the third in that first game. And so when Stephen A. says, well, if this is what it's going to be, because there was a moment in the third quarter where I looked up and I'm like, well, it's tough to be in the Eastern Conference Finals and you've got Caleb Martin and Max Strus running around on the court with Oladipo and Gabe Vincent. And I'm like, this is deep in the playoffs for some of these players to be playing that people in the country do not respect. But Stephen A. Smith proclaimed, like, he's saying Celtics in five here because he's seen enough through two games.
Five?
Didn't he just pick the Heat?
Well, he'll pick the Heat. He's on the Zach Harper.
That's why he's the GOAT.
That's why he's the GOAT. You make a different prediction every platform you're on. You can never be wrong.
NBA countdown, one thing. Halftime, different thing. Post-game show, different thing. It's
NBA radio tomorrow morning, I will declare the Celtics the winners. Saturday night on Mad Dog Sports Radio, I will declare the Heat the clear winners in the series. Yeah. It's as easy as it gets.
Dan, did you think about saying when you were talking to security, did you think about saying I'm Poppy's son?
My father's very popular here. My father.
Yes.
Popular.
And very nicely done there. What I don't want to do to you guys, because I enjoy listening to, I guess you don't want to analyze this slop, right? Because I don't want to come in here and have you guys just ask me a bunch of questions and dominate the ball. Like, I want to hear, I actually want to hear what you guys have to say about what you saw tonight, but I guess it's not very interesting to you guys.
So you don't want to be Victor Oladipo? That like you want to make sure everyone can contribute and not just suck the life out of the team.
Oh my God,
he's bad. He's like he's really bad.
He's bad.
It's painful. It's painful to watch.
I don't want to put it all on him, but he shouldn't be playing.
I'm getting a lot of Mike Bibby 2011 vibes from Spo, just playing Victor Oladipo, praying that he comes back to his old prime years.
Is he Spo's DeAndre Jordan? Is this the equivalent of that? Like, is this what we're getting? Like,
no, because Doc gave up on DeAndre. That was all for show. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it's okay. Well, he's Doc's Avery Bradley because he was playing him constantly when he was with the Clippers when that was well past his prime. Yeah. But I think the bigger thing for me with just the Heat too is just offensively. Like, I missed the dribble handoff stuff, bam at the elbow, running guys off of him, and just creating from there. Like, all of that stuff has gone away. Like, that's one of the things I look at when I watch them offensively. I'm like, where's the stuff that they used to run? Like, they don't even run that much offense anymore.
Yeah, and it's crazy because ostensibly the reason why that happened was because they got Kyle, and Kyle's a pure point guard, and so they let Kyle be the playmaker. But as he's been gone for however long as he has, and even earlier this season when he missed games, they didn't – you're right, Mo. They didn't do any of that stuff that they've done – the last few years where Bam is like a 4 or 5 assist a game type player.
I think the problem with that is Boston size.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Like, they can handle a good defense, but Boston is so much bigger than them. Like, it's not even the athleticism. Like, Boston just shrinks the court, and every time they try to move around a screen, Boston is at screen level or even higher, and it's pushing them out, and they can't turn the corner to get inside. So there's no, it's like the first few minutes of game one, there's no penetration at all. Just no dribble penetration.
I don't think we need to overanalyze the fact. I mean, the Miami Heat scored 30 fewer points from downtown than the Boston Celtics tonight. 30 fewer points. I mean, it's a make or miss league, to Dan's point. Like, with all the 3-point volume that's happening, if you get hot from downtown, it's a wrap. I mean, when we saw Dallas Golden State last night, Dallas shot 8 of 28 from wide open threes. Not threes,
right?
Wide open threes. They missed 20 wide open threes, and the analysis boils down to that sometimes, which is just they didn't hit shots. Mm. Are you guys saying that you saw things from the Miami Heat tonight that is beyond just not hitting shots and Boston hitting those shots? There is something underneath those make or miss league numbers that makes you think, okay, there's something actually wrong with the Miami Heat's offense.
Yeah. I did. It's called Victor Oladipo.
But I think just anything, getting back to your normal stuff. It's how you create shots and things like that, and not just trying to hope you're getting prayers from everybody. You can look at the number of guys that just pulled up immediately with 15 on the clock. And this is in the first half, like not even in the second half, when you're like, all right, we got a gun to get back into this game. Like, they're jacking up shots early in the shot clock. It's guys like Oladipo. It's Caleb Martin trying to take Robert Williams off the dribble. How did he think that was going to end for him? Like, what was the thought process there? Like, the guy was with him the whole drive.
That ended up right in my lap. That was right over here. Where I got the close-up look of on Caleb. That was a terrible decision. Why would you do that against that person?
More like defeat Oladipo. Defeat, like Victor right. Reed.
I didn't get it. But when you elaborated, okay. when you I was there and I was sitting there and I'm like, defeat Oladipo. Defeat like the opposite of Victor. But once you say like Victor, it really brings it home. Yeah. Why are you guys crushing this poor guy as if there weren't 10 other Heat players who didn't help Jimmy Butler at all?
Because it's been going on for so long, Dan. It's been a long time since Victor was good.
Well, it's what you guys say on the show a lot, right? We're going to ride with the guys who brought us. He never brought you here. He just started to get playoff minutes. It was one of those things where we stopped riding with those guys.
He brought Indiana to the first round, and that's it. Like, that is the Victor Oladipo story.
And it was Atlanta. It was Atlanta. Right. It's not like that was a good team.
It boggles the mind that this dude has earned this much trust and respect. For what? For what? And here's the thing.
It's a cool story because his leg is basically cut in half. Like Victor Oladipo's redemption story is great. But then there's Duncan Robinson on the bench being like, hey, you gave me $90 million and this guy's playing over me? Like, I can't get minutes over this guy?
Zach, there's a question in the chat. What are you drinking? I know you're drinking wine. Do you care to elaborate what kind of wine you're drinking?
Yes, it's my favorite winery. It's Booker Vineyard in Paso Robles, California. This is the Oublier. It's not Devin Booker, but this is Oublier.
Trevor
it's
Booker.
It's a nice blend, and it's fantastic.
Melvin Booker.
Dan, can you give us a little scenery here of
Celtics fans still
what
around?
You've got there?
It's a terribly sad arena. That's Jalen Rose there on the court. There's not a lot going on here. It's almost dried out. They're like, all I see actually. The only people remaining in the stands are wearing Celtics jersey. Everything else is cleared out.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
But have you ever done that? Like, you go to a game, you're on the road, your favorite team won, and now you just hang out in the arena or in the stadium as opposed to, like, go and have a life somewhere.
I've never gone to a game on the road. Like, I've never wow. done
fan, no.
It's right. never, as a fan, like, it's never occurred to me to spend money to travel somewhere
no
to watch.
Wait, not
no.
a single sport?
I went to a Georgia football game at ASU with my dad in, like, 2008 because he's a huge Georgia football fan. Mm. And that's the only time I've traveled for a road game, yeah.
The only place I could understand that, I mean, is, like, Oklahoma City. There ain't anything else to do there. Might as well just stay inside. Like, there's nothing else to do. You just might as well, like, whatever. Let's just soak this in as much as we can.
Wow, I guess Perkins isn't a after-hour spot for you, Mo.
Shout out to Aaron in the chat who said, Amin so salty. I don't know what you think I'm salty about. Like, did I play?
I think margaritas. The rim of margaritas that you have been drinking.
Dan, I've got a bone to pick with you real quick on the latest episode of Cinephobe that dropped today on the Levitard and Friends
what's
Network.
What's Cinephobe?
What a great question. It's weird you guys wouldn't know it because it is part of the network, but it's the podcast where Amin and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, and we try to ascertain if they're properly poorly rated or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. That's Cinephobe. It's produced by Anthony Mays. It's wherever you find podcasts, including the Levitard and Friends Network. And so Amin claimed that you had a part in him being drunk
anything.
for the last podcast.
Wow. I didn't claim anything.
That he drank 3 White Claws, and then he went to lunch with you, Dan, and you made him do 2 shots of tequila, and he had 2 other drinks outside of that.
I didn't claim any of that.
This was on you.
It's a work lunch.
Dan, don't listen to him. Mm-hmm. Don't listen.
I listened to the pod today. You said that. I listened to it today.
I look.
It's all true.
Hold on. I didn't see it. I was asked, and I thought it was off the record, so I revealed. I said yes. I had.
I thought it was off the record.
Yes.
Were you Greg Cody? What? Nothing's ever off the record when we're doing a podcast.
My voice sounds like Greg Cody right now, but yeah, I'm muting heavily like because it keeps building right up to here.
Are you okay?
I don't think I'm okay, to be honest with you. I don't know what this is.
Is this what
COVID sounds like?
Dan, I wanted to get your take on this Kendrick Perkins tweet tonight. If you see Marcus Smart wrestling with Lion, you better put the steak on him. He want all the smoke. Translate for me.
If you see him wrestling with a lion, you better put a steak on him. He doesn't mind having a steak around him when he's a lion. I thought the thing about Marcus Smart, I know that he's an important player for them. I just love that Milwaukee game ended, not just with him getting stripped that way and making the ridiculous, you know, the flopping gesture that he did, but the added indignity of, if that's how the game is going to end, your hair simply can't be green. I know people criticize Cam Newton because sometimes after losses he'll still show up in the ridiculous outfit that he wore the victory. What I'm saying is that before he gets that ball stolen like that at the end of the game, Marcus Smart has to make his hair a different color. You cannot dye the hair green and have a game end that way.
It's a great point. I think that there's got to be, I think it's on every team to kind of have a stylist. Now, obviously, you're not going to do a full dye job in the huddle going into that final possession, but there's got to be some kind of spray that can be applied that either strips the color or adds a different color, right? Like, there's got to be something there.
I have some great things. I have some patchiness in my hair sometimes, and they still make fun of me at PTI because somebody put like a can of hair where they just sort of sprinkle something to it's like sort of a can of dust, of gray dust. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to do that with Marcus Smart right before that possession.
Now, Dan, I've got some liquid collagen for you that will solve all of your issues. Man.
You know what's crazy, Zach, is that I stopped taking it. And what I happened? Swear, it's like I've regressed. I need to go back to taking it.
I have all this up
will
here.
Will it help with the impotence? All my issues? All of my issues?
Sure. Why not? Worth a shot, Dan. Worth a shot.
Look, there's only one way to find out. And I get like a $10 referral fee if you sign up using my link. So.
And if you don't like Zach, I also get it. So if you want a link for me, I'd rather you just do it for me. I'm my collagen guy.
I'm fairly sure it's a Ponzi scheme.
You don't know any of these guys.
What kind of pathetic hustle is a collagen hustle?
Not everyone got $50 million from DraftKings, Dan. Some of us have to work.
I didn't get the $50 million. Chris Cody got the $50 million.
And a highlight team.
Now, does Chris Cody need liquid collagen? Because I could, I'll text him.
Oh, man.
He did recently go to like a full-time hat look. Chris Cody did.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you guys right now.
Everyone in our crew has a full-time hat look.
Yeah.
Let me tell you right now. I've begun the official research for the hair transplant, whatever you want to call it, the hair
can
growth.
Of hair,
not the can of hair.
No. Like actual transplant.
I'm talking about when
is this where they take like follicles from the rest of your head?
Yeah,
like the back of your head. And put them
but I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine a can of hair like a salt shaker.
Yeah. It's not even like a spray.
No, it's just dusting.
No, I know what Dan's talking about. I had a barber that used to put that on me at the end of, I'm like, dude, I'm going to go take a shower when we're done. Like, this is useless. I'm washing this out. And he's just looking at him going like, why do you keep, first off, tell me you're doing this, please. Like,
you're putting like Old Bay for hair on your head?
I know exactly what Dan's talking about. It's literally just a little powder. It's not fun.
Thanos snapped his fingers. Like, does it change to dust like that, or what are we talking about here?
it's weird. But you know what's even weirder is I got my barber now also does like hair tattooing where it's like a tattoo.
Oh,
of your,
that's the Corey Maggette. Yeah. Corey Maggette did that.
Hair?
Yeah, yeah. He's been telling me about it every time I go to get a haircut from him, and I'm just looking at him going like, yeah, I ain't ever doing that, bro.
When so that's going, different than gone. The Carlos Boozer. Different than the Boozer.
No, because this one won't run. It's literally tattoos.
So if you look at, I think PJ Tucker has done it, by the way. I suspect. I don't know. Wait. I know
Corey Maggette. Serious done accusations
it.
Right now.
Whoa. I know Whoa. Corey Maggette.
This is a man awaiting an MRI, and you're just going to throw this out there.
He's hurting right now, and you're making accusations about a hair transplant.
I'm just saying that. No, not hair transplant. I think
tattoos.
As a tattoo, yeah. Wow. I thought about it. I watched videos. I was like, I don't know.
Did you do your own research?
I did do my own research. I got my
Basketball Illuminati, Basketball Illuminati, Basketball Illuminati. Dan, did you listen to this week's episode yet?
Not yet. I'm looking forward to it. What's on this week's episode?
We got Bomani, we got John Skipper, the boss, we got Ethan Strauss giving their favorite draft lottery rigged theories. Which year was their favorite draft lottery rigged season, year, I guess you'd say. We also had Howard Beck on the show to talk about the Kia 2011 Dunk Champion fraud. Blake Griffin, how the NBA rigged that with the Kia, the car coming out, and that whole
one episode.
So Howard Beck also on the show.
All on one episode. Hey man, we pack it in.
How do you guys feel as people who have covered basketball for a while to see Blake Griffin go, whether it's a fraudulent Dunk Championship or not, to go from the pinnacle of athletic grace falling from the sky like a lightning bolt to taking charges, leading the league and taking charges all season? Like, to me, that is one of the saddest evolutions of youth expiring that I have ever seen.
There. It makes me feel good. I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I like comeuppance.
So, no, hairline.
We talked about this on Cinephobe, something like this on Cinephobe. Last week we did the movie Taxi, starring Queen Latifah and Jimmy Fallon. And in the trivia, we found out that Jimmy Fallon went into really deep depression because his movie career didn't take off, and he had substance abuse problems. He had to go into rehab. And I revealed to the guys that makes me feel good because. I thought Jimmy Fallon was just this guy. No, I just thought he was this guy where everything went great for him and everything was awesome and everything he touched turned to gold. And it made me feel good to know that, no, he struggled. He felt like trash. He had to, go into rehab. It made me feel good that he hit hard times.
Well, for me, though, it's different because I was with Blake when I was with the Clippers. Right,
yeah.
Like I was there for
you were
that
a coach,
run.
You were the video coordinator with Blake Griffin.
Like,
and
I was there when he dunked all over Perkins and all of that stuff. So, it is like jolting to see it. It's sometimes I talk to a buddy of mine who was on the staff with me at the time, and like we'll just talk about Blake going, like, can you imagine, like, just the fall is a whole other world. Like, we know what's going to happen. His knees are all banged up, everything like that. We saw it kind of coming, and he never developed enough of a shooting skill. But it's just still sad. It's just sad when you watch it.
You know what? He's made a $250 million in the NBA. I think he's
all right. Then fuck him,
guys. It's cowardly. There's nothing more cowardly than taking a charge. It's
the charge
is cowardly act in basketball. It's one of the most cowardly acts in sports. There's nothing basketball about it. It is just like it's just deciding to stand under someone's legs as your friend pushes them over. Like over your body, like that's all it is. That's the equivalent of it.
And I used to love doing that.
Becoming an alcoholic. Like that is, of course, you like that.
It's fun. It's a fun.
Well,
bit,
I do need to just for a moment stop everything we're doing here and just pause for a second to acknowledge that Amin Alhassan just celebrated the hell of addiction. The hell of addiction, where he just like, you know what? That made me feel good that someone else was suffering a private hell where they wrestled with addiction and showed up for work like in bandages and stuff like Jimmy Fallon did, because God knows what happened the night before with whatever it is, the darkness he was crawling through. And there's Amin right there as a guy battles the hell of addiction saying, you know what? I'm classic hater. I'm enjoying that your life is not perfect.
He was happy to hear that Juju was throwing up his insides tonight.
No,
and next to Ahmad Rashad and Mario Chalmers.
It's because Ahmad was there.
Yes, why. Look, if Juju has to throw up in public, I want it to be with Ahmad Rashad on one side and Mario Chalmers on the other. Like, why would he just do it in some public restroom with no payoff?
If you threw up next to Ahmad Rashad, would you say, now that was the inside stuff? Or would you just let that go?
I would wait for him to call me his main man.
Guillermo, put on the floor.
My main man.
That's a win right there.
Chalmers have helped the Heat tonight in place of Victor Oladipo's minutes.
Probably.
Ahmad Rashad always reminds me of a Muppet. I don't know why. It's the voice and then just the really, really stark eyes, right? Like the bug eyes and the voice. Very Muppet-like, all of it.
What?
They were celebrating him on the Jumbotron. Yes, I agree. Although he doesn't look quite as much as a Muppet as O.J. Mayo looks like cartoon broccoli, I would say, a cartoon stock of broccoli. But I was watching here on the Jumbotron, and Mario Chalmers was celebrating his birthday. They put him on the Jumbotron, and he did like 6 or 7 side-eye looks at the Jumbotron without ever acknowledging that he was on the Jumbotron. So he couldn't stop. And I wanted, like, can you guys tell me, because at an arena, there are a number of things that strike me as strange, you know, hostile old people fighting over a $2.99 t-shirt and whatnot. But the enthusiasm of the Jumbotron, of just being placed for a second in the stadium, I don't really understand. What happened? I thought you got excited by the idea of somebody suffering great addiction on the Jumbotron. Somebody suffering cold turkey withdrawal on the Jumbotron.
Just shooting up on the Jumbotron. He's just like, there we go. This is the height of it.
Go to the bottom of the darkness.
Heat that spoon.
There's no one better than when a dude is on the Jumbotron with his side piece and he doesn't want anyone to see it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
It is a glorious moment in an NBA arena.
Tom, this is one of those times where I think you're falling for the game ops trick, where there's the guy who happens to be wearing an away jersey and it's sitting.
No way. There is no, that.
This happens.
The kiss cam. If it's the kiss cam where the guy then comes and sits between them, yes, that was a plant. But there are definitely times where a guy gets shown on the Jumbotron and he just stiffens up.
Tension.
Not that kind of.
I got a question.
Although liquid collagen guys will cure that stiffening if you need it.
Oh boy, I got a question about the Miami crowd, because like for Laker games, Zach, you know, you've seen it when they shoot, they do the stars in the crowd or whatever in the first or second quarter. It's at least 60% of them leave immediately afterwards. Literally, just get up and leave right afterwards. We got the shine. We got the love. We're leaving. Does this happen with the Miami crowd? Is this something that with the stars?
What kind of celebrities did we see tonight, Dan?
I did not see a lot of that tonight. I don't know what was Nashville on television.
Ahmad Rashad in the bathroom. Yeah.
You were getting thrown out of the building at one point, so it's, you know.
I'm going to say I spent a quarter and a half waiting for a drink. A quarter and a half, I'm going to say.
Was it a good drink, at least? Did it taste
No. I can't believe I missed all. I can't believe that Marcus
missed
Smart
the game.
missed 10 shots. Like I did. All I saw was Marcus Smart have the best game I've ever seen.
Dan, he shot 8 of 22.
Yeah. The 10 missed most of that.
All I saw was the 8. I don't have in front of me. All I saw is him raining threes. He was Steph Curry. That's all I saw.
Now, does the eye test work if you only catch half the game? Does the eye test come through?
I love that my analysis of this game was Marcus Smart couldn't miss, and you guys just told me he was 8 for 22.
To be fair, for Marcus Smart, that's usually can't miss. You know, 8 for 22, that's usually...
That's a hot night.
Yeah.
I want you guys to understand, this is funny to me, because what I'm saying is all I saw was that Marcus Smart was 8 for 8 on threes.
I'll give you, I'm going to help you out here a little bit, Dan. At least in the second half, he was 6 of 11, 4 of 7 from 3. Like, you got a little bit there. And that's all you saw. You didn't see the first quarter and a half.
No.
How the hell did the Celtics win by a minutes when Marcus Smart missed all his shots and Jason Tatum didn't play the fourth and didn't do anything in the first.
Peyton Pritchard was plus 39, Dan.
Yo.
Peyton Pritchard.
That guy. Do you think that guy loves going to the Y? Because I am positive. Yes. I am positive that that dude shows up at the Y and everybody's like, no. This is...
Dan, he dropped 92 points in a pro-am game last offseason. 92 points in a pro-am game. But I'll throw this at you. Let's say, like, just before they really make an NBA, who is the ultimate pickup ringer? Is it Peyton Pritchard or is it J.J. Barea? Because I think that when he was at Northeastern, J.J. Barea probably showed up to a lot of random basketball courts and nobody had any idea for the pain that was coming.
J.J. Barea looked like the soccer player who decides today I'm going to play some basketball for cardio.
Yeah.
And then they guard everyone like it's soccer. Like they stand like this with their knees kind of slightly bent inwards because they don't want to get nutmegged somehow.
J.J. Barea could actually score some. When I think of that, I think of John Crotty like showing up at the Y.
Yeah.
I think of John like coming out there and nobody expects anything. And next thing you know, you're dying 1,000 deaths because of little left-handed runners.
Yeah, John Crotty looks like he drank like four transfusions coming off 18 at Doral and then just walked into the YMCA and just dropped 50.
Point out that this week on ESPN Plus is a new episode of Vince's Places. And I can't think of a more boring ass name. This might be the most amazing show ever. But just based off the name, Vince's Places, and the artwork is a picture of Vince Carter in a suit smiling. Zero appeal.
Let's not talk about Vince. Okay.
No, are you still blocked?
Yeah, I'm blocked. Yeah.
Still. Blocked by Vince Carter?
I mean, I'm still blocked by Bill Simmons, so it happened.
I don't understand why anybody would block you, Zach. I understand that.
He was my favorite player growing up, Vince Carter. Like, I have posters on my wall of Vince Carter. I bought his Puma shoes, guys. Those Pumas. And he blocked me on Twitter. I have no idea. And I'm too scared to ask him about it when I see him in person. So it's a mystery. I don't know. But Bill Simmons still has you blocked, Zach?
Yeah, since like 2011. I was working at ESPN when he first blocked me. We were working together technically. And I didn't even say shit.
Yeah.
Mo, did you block me?
But I didn't say anything. No, I didn't do anything to deserve it.
I haven't found out yet if I'm blocked by anybody.
No,
yet.
You're not working hard enough. Not working hard.
That's fine.
There you go, doing these video breakdowns, not ruffling any feathers, Mo.
That's all I do. Do my video breakdown, ask for somebody to retweet it, and leave. That's all I need.
Mo, among you and Amin, like, who is the shining example of guys who are former video coordinators? Like, is Eric Spoelstra on the top of the mountain of guys who were video? Like, is there a cabal of video coordinators who are really proud of some video coordinator that was able to climb through the labyrinth to get to the stuff at the top of the food chain?
I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean,
yeah.
Mike Budenholzer is another guy, video coordinator starting
grief, out. Grief counselor. Looks like a grief counselor.
Grief counselor. That's oddly enough, that was his side job, right? And then would do video coordinating at night. That was, you know, what he would do during the day. You have James Borrego, just got let go in Charlotte, but he rose up the ranks. Like
Mike Brown.
There's a good number of them, right?
Yeah.
Who else pops up?
Alvin Gentry did video. I mean, obviously.
You guys are mentioning guys who are coaches. You guys are not mentioning top 15 coaches ever.
Wow.
I'm wondering who the shining example is.
I mean, suppose the one, because this gets the most pub. Like, anytime I've told somebody, like, oh, I'm a video coordinator, and that their first reaction is like, oh, like the guy in Miami.
Yeah.
So that and also, know his name.
You know why? Wow. I'm going to say this right now. It's not because
first
he's
off,
top
Arab
15.
Folks don't know that much. Like, with the names, you're asking for too much.
It's not even that. It's because they have that same picture that they play all the time of Spo in the video room with cassettes. And guess what, man? Some of us weren't, look at me, Louie, when we were down there. Some of us were just busy doing our job, not taking pictures, trying to be all up in the camera, all up in the video, showing people, oh, who, me? Yeah, get out of here, Spo. I was trying to be a look at me, Louie,
the whole time. I just, you know, nobody wanted to take the picture. I was there.
No one wanted to look.
Maybe if you took some pictures, you'd be coaching in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, you think about
it. Don't want to. I'm happy.
And me and Spo would be breaking down movies every week.
Oh, wow. That's a bizarre
that
world.
That would be an interesting idea. What's Eric Spolstra's favorite movie? That'd be a great question.
In a different multiverse, you got a little side stuff there.
Do I have my hair?
You got to be running
the hair's even worse.
In Miami.
Oh my God! No,
do you guys have anything for the people of Miami here who are looking for some solace? Who are looking, other than ripping Victor Oladipo? And I know I expect this to be a long series, and I think these teams are evenly matched. But I don't know whether you guys have made any assessments based on the first two games that can echo through the rest of the series. I always imagine with Eric Spoelstra that you keep giving him chances at a team that by the time you get to 5 and 6 and 7 games, he's going to do some real learning in the first games, that he's got some real advantages the deeper a series goes.
I think if they early on, it's a healthy dose of Jimmy and Bam dribble handoffs kind of on the side. And it's not Jimmy kind of like feeling it out. If Jimmy is going off of these handoffs and being aggressive early, I don't think Boston can defend that easily. Now, you may get a swing and a guy misses a three-point shot, but I think if you work it on the right side of the floor and Jimmy is just going immediately off that handoff, I think it puts a ton of pressure on no matter who's defending that, and I think that could break down some of that defense.
And then I think the other side of it, too, is on the other end of the floor, like the Boston's not going 20 of 40 again. I mean, Marcus Smart might go 2 for 12 again, but, you know, he's not going to go 20 of 40. But you can't do things like leaving Al Horford open in the corner and just giving up easy and wide open looks over and over again. They gave up threes on consecutive plays to, you know, Marcus Smart off of a play when they double teamed Jaylen Brown off a pick and roll. They did it again and Grant Williams got one. They got another one in the corner from Grant Williams when Horford got the ball in the post. Like, if you got a double team Horford in the post, you have problems. But I don't think those are going to be ultimately the issues that you're going to run into with Miami. I think this is going to still be a really long series.
I think PJ Tucker's injury might be a blessing in disguise in some ways, with Duncan Robinson getting some burn. But then he got hurt on the last possession of the game. Duncan Robinson, I mean, he can come in and get hot and win you game three. There's no doubt about that in my mind. And with PJ Tucker being hurt, he could have a role in that game. And Kyle Lowry could be coming back. So there's a couple injury-related bright spots for this team that Kyle Lowry could be coming back and Duncan Robinson can be, you know, get hot.
I don't know how this works, right? I don't know, you know, you've got to be a maximum professional to be able to come back after not playing for a month and you know, just shoot all over the place. But his shot looked super flat to me. Everything was short today. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like anything was clear. I mean, I did enjoy watching Duncan Robinson little layups there that he
was nice.
He thought about dunking it. Couldn't do it. It was close.
I just want
layup in Robinson.
NakedHD.xyz will satisfy your wishes online. Came back briefly, but was blocked immediately.
Oh, get me that collagen. I'm excited now. I'm excited. What's happening there now? What's it? Give me some.
Man, I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you. I can't believe that Dan had Marcus Smart as like game six Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
It was the basket I was under. Like, so all I saw, he made them all on this basket. And I'm like, holy shit, Marcus Smart was really important that they were missing him that first game. Because look, I'm looking up here and all he's doing is he's screaming at half court. I legitimately thought that Marcus Smart was having the game one that Butler had.
Mm-hmm. Right. Can we point out also that the arena voice for the Miami Heat, Michael Bimonte, missed game one because his daughter was graduating med school or something like that, and they won handily. Then he's back tonight, and then they lose pretty handily. Maybe we're looking in all the wrong places. Huh?
Mm. Keep your third eye open, everybody.
That's a basketball Illuminati.
I mean, he won't be in Boston.
Let me ask you this. What's Heat worse? Five. The way the Panthers lost, or this one, like the worst.
I was going to say, Dan, what is the is this one of the saddest days in South Florida sports history right here with the Florida Panthers and the Heat? The Heat just had a +39 for Peyton Pritchard in their home building.
Oh my gosh.
And the Panthers, yeah, the Panthers gave up the game-winning goal with 3 seconds left. Yeah, not a great night for South Florida sports. I'm telling you that I came very close to just leaving in the third quarter, but I was afraid of not showing up for this, and the shame of, because in it right now a 20-point lead isn't exactly safe in this league. So I was just afraid to leave, but I shouldn't.
You didn't want to be banging on the doors at the
end. You want to be Sugats. You didn't want to be Sugats.
It's the only reason I did not leave is because I did not want to be Sugats. But there were.
Do you think Sugats? Do you think Sugats would have left at 18-8?
I don't think Sugats has been here since the Ray Allen shot.
The Heat are undefeated in games where Sugats says he's going to go, but then doesn't end up actually going. So maybe that's what they need for Game 5, is for Sugats to declare he's going and then not show up.
I wanted to ask you guys, though, on so Trae Young, you know, they smother him. James Harden, they smother him. Tatum is neither of those players. Tatum is better than both of those players. Is there any smothering of Tatum? I know they can bother him.
Yeah.
So they did it to him in Game 1, but he, like, kudos to him and Coach Udoka for the adjustment. Is he got the ball out so fast that he didn't allow himself to be smothered, and then they kept looking for him as he kept working after he let it go. So I think, you know, one of the things, part of it is because Trae Young and James Harden, the ball is a lot stickier for them anyways. But part of it also is that Tatum made the adjustment from Game 1 to Game 2. Now, can he keep it up? Because that is obviously not in his normal kind of way. And then 2, can they keep up the shooting? Because like Mo said, if you shoot 20 for 40 from 3, well, yeah, they're making him pay every single time, every time he got rid of it. But if those guys start missing shots, is Tatum as quick to give it up? Probably not.
No.
Well, the smothering stuff, like I did the One More Thing video today, and there's a great example of them basically 4 guys on Tatum at the end of the third quarter, right? There's that exact clip, and he had no chance, right? Like there was no way he turns it over and he'd go the other way and get a bucket. This game, when they started to load up, you had guys moving. Grant Williams cuts from the corner along the baseline. Tatum finds him right there for a pass and an easy bucket. Like it's that type of stuff. Those are the adjustments that they're making with all of that. That's what's going to be fun to watch for in Game 3.
Mo, what's one more thing?
One more thing is a video where I ascertain. No, I'm not going to use ascertain. It's a weekly breakdown, 2 minutes long. I try to give you literally just one thing that I cover, and I try to give you a couple of examples and get out.
It's the best thing on Twitter. You got to go check out Mo DeKeel _NBA on Twitter.
It's good.
Zach Harper at Talk Hoops, and listen to him on Cinephobe, wherever you listen to podcasts, especially the Lebatard and Friends Network. That's Poppy's son. They're still at the arena being surrounded by a bunch of Southies in jerseys, in Celtics jerseys. Dan, thank you for joining us. And of course, Amin El Hassan and his phlegm joining us on the show. Go follow him at Darth Amin on Instagram.
Vern Fleming.
That was flaming doo-doo fire. Not what you guys did, but what happened before you guys came on.
8 of 22.
I thought you were talking about Juju's vomiting.
Yes. Hell no, Troy.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.